Welcome to the Swiss Cyber Security Days talk. Shaping cyber resilience. The enormous threat from cyberspace is a reflection of our weaknesses and the result of our failures. Education and enlightenment are part of the digital equation and key to success. Because cybersecurity is much more than an IT issue and can only be achieved through solidarity-based cooperation. We talk to experts about current topics and provide inspiration. My name is Carolina Hinrichsen, and today I speak with Gazmen Huskay. He is the head of cybersecurity at the Geneva Center for Security, and with Riccardo Cicchetti. He's the head of the Cyber Clinic, president and PR and marketing at ETH's Cyber Group, which is a student initiative. Welcome to the Swiss Cyber Security Talk. Gazmen, I'm very happy that you're today here with me in the podcast studio, in the podcast lounge.
Thank you very much for having me. It's a pleasure to be here, and I'm happy to see so many people outside that have taken their time to come here and discuss some very important topics, and also to see where the community is heading. Thank you.
This is a good point, Gazmen, the community. You've been just coming here from stage. Your topic on stage was successfully navigating today's digital military landscape. I have to admit, something I'm not that familiar with because I don't have a military background. But I think it's something very important today, and just to share thoughts about this and discuss things in the community. What does it mean? In today's states are specifically explore technical vulnerabilities to assert their strategic interests,
yep,
on the one hand.
Mm-hmm.
It is therefore important that states can defend themselves against threat actors.
Yep.
And in order to pursue an active foreign security and defense policy, a whole of society approach is needed,
yep,
that can organize offensive cyberspace operations. And I would like to ask you, how do you successfully navigate today's digital landscape in that?
That's a very good question. And the answer is, depending on how I would like to frame it, quite complex. But let's start like this. You need to have an understanding of the threat actors. You need to have an understanding of your infrastructure, how things are built, what potential vulnerabilities may exist, and what are the tactics, techniques, and procedures of the threat actors and how they go about by entering your system and causing damage to them. I would start there.
Mm-hmm. And where you would go the next step?
The next step is obviously doing something about it. And to do something about it, it's a technical level, on the tactical, then on the organizational, operational level, and then on the policy and strategic level. So what we need to understand is that we need to have the policymakers and lawmakers on our side to understand that we cannot tolerate certain type of behavior. And that particular behavior that we're talking about is the misuse of this infrastructure to cause damage to societal security, economic security, and national security in the ultimate sense. So we need to take measures, and those measures can be in form of a cyber deterrence strategy. That means, how does a nation align itself from a whole of society perspective to not only defend itself, but also dismantle threat actors' infrastructure so they are not able to do attacks to you. And this is a big difference in comparison to the physical world and physical domain. So in the cyber domain, you need to actively engage with the threat actors and neutralizing them. But in the physical world, because of destruction and a lot of other things, and international law it materializes differently or does not materialize at all.
Interesting. May I ask you the Aladdin's lamp question.
Okay, let's see what it is.
It's about the three wishes about the genie. Remember from your childhood, maybe? I know sometimes it's the first rule about genie's wishes is everything is allowed. Why do I love this question so much? Is because if you try to think first of the impossible, it might be possible sometime. This is something what is especially in IT and development processes. No one would ever imagine that today or 25 years ago that today the two of us are sitting in a podcast studio and share thoughts live from a conference to a community. No one would ever thought it. When my grandmother was born, she would never have imagined that she would manage her bank account via her iPhone or her smartphone.
That's so, a good point.
Yeah. So this is why I love so much those genie questions.
Okay.
So if with one snap, if you could solve three things from one to another second,
so
what would you choose?
The first thing would be the all-encompassing wish, all the challenges that we're talking about to be fixed. So that's the first wish, all challenges. What do I mean by that? Sustainability, equality, or inequality, with, of course, cyber being part of that. So that's the utopia wish, if you wish.
Then everything is solved already, done.
It should be.
Okay.
Technically speaking.
Technically speaking.
If we talk about cyber, a lot of the problems that we're witnessing today are actually a bit anti to the thesis and the principles that ensure that the internet, as we call it today, a distributed system of systems, was put in place to ensure that things would work even if they would be under attack. So that one of the particular principles that is about distributing your resources, your information assets, we're working on the anti side. We're putting all of our assets in one vendor, in one place, and price is the ultimate driver economy. So in the 70s, there are 10, 12 principles, compartmentalization, segregation of duties, and so on and so forth. We're doing the opposite. We're putting them in one place because price is cheaper. And then when that company is hit with a ransomware attack, 100 plus government agencies go down. And that knowledge is, let's see, we're in 2024, 50 years old, if I counted correctly, from 2020 minus 1970. So we're doing ourselves a disfavor here, I think. And I believe, again, the combination of economy, free market, but also the lack of knowledge on the infrastructure level is there, but how do you convey that knowledge to the policymakers? How do you explain to a C-level organization that they actually need to invest this money to ensure that their business operations are not disrupted? And a lot of people, and I have an anecdote, the CEO of a company said, look, guys, I don't need you here. Unfortunately, there were only guys in that particular cybersecurity company, and he just wanted them out as soon as possible. And when they presented the results, in one of the slides, they had highlighted a particular number with a red rectangle. And when the CEO of the company saw that number, his eyes grew because it was his American Express number. So someone in the company was buying stuff. And suddenly, cybersecurity became very important to the CEO. And it's a bit sad because it seems human nature and I'm not an expert on that, that we need to hit the wall a couple of times or fall a couple of times before we realize we actually need to do something about it before it happens.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's crazy. As long as you're not affected by yourself in person, just you think it's not your topic at all.
Yeah.
But I agree. Just it's especially cybersecurity in companies, in big organizations, is the C-level's topic.
Yeah. And I think there's also a threshold. And I was discussing with some very bright people here just before coming here as well, in relation to that, when companies leave the startup phase and start to become larger and larger, what happens is they need to be compliant based on legal compliance. They need to fulfill a certain criteria. But small companies, SMEs, small and medium enterprises, they can be of two people, three people, which means they're not maybe big enough to be covered by these legal compliances. And if you look at it, the bigger picture, if I've understood it correctly, Swiss economic security is based on around 650,000 SMEs.
Mm.
So the big organizations, they try to do their best because of compliance, for example. But the smaller ones, consisting of one, two, three people, they may not even have the know-how. Or they're safe as long as they don't fall.
Mm, yeah, as long as they're not interesting enough, so to say.
Yeah. Yeah. But the thing is that from a threat actor perspective, they want to find the easiest way in. So if they can find one way in through an unprotected target and then use that as a stepping stone to another target and a third target and so on and so forth, from a threat actor perspective, that's very good because the threat actor may exploit existing trust, which in the big picture, we're talking about supply chain attacks, for example.
Mm-hmm. So it's all our topic.
It's an all-encompassing topic.
Yeah.
And this is what we're seeing now, one of the trends. So we have on the 15th of December, 2021, the United Kingdom, they came out with a national cyber strategy. So they removed the word security.
Mm-hmm.
So instead of a national cybersecurity strategy, they published their national cyber strategy. In November 2023, the United States Department of the Navy published their Department of the Navy National Cyber Strategy, again, removing the word security. So what is the rationale? In the UK context, the rationale is that cybersecurity in the infrastructure is really important, but cyber as a challenge is bigger than only the security community. So you need a whole of society approach led by the government. And they have some programs and networks in place for that. If you apply that same rationale in the military context, what the Department of the Navy in the United States is saying is that cybersecurity is important, but it's so important that all of the soldiers must know it.
Mm-hmm.
And therefore, we end up seeing a trend, a potential trend, where everyone should know something about cybersecurity, maybe in the same way as knowing how to read and write.
Thank you, Guzman. Thank you very much for sharing your thoughts and some impulses with us here in the Swiss Cybersecurity Talk. I would like to ask you one final question.
Oh, okay.
Not scary.
Okay, that's good. Thank you.
Why should we attend again here in 2025?
We need to share knowledge and expertise with each other. One of the biggest challenges that cyber security in general has is the concept that we need to share information. Cyber threat intelligence sharing. To be able to share information with each other, we need to have established trust. This is a very good place to have that first discussion and start to establish trust. And maybe in the long run, cyber threat intelligence sharing and just making life miserable for the threat actors in the long run.
Mm-hmm. And this is, well, I love your last words, because this is something I strongly believe in personally. We are human natures. And how does our brain work? Trust we create about touch points, personal touch points, that we look in each other's faces and that we share time and moments with each other. And the trust is the base of everything that we, it's like building up a house that if you don't have trust first, you cannot create and build up anything else. And just to relate it to any topic in the world, if you want to create and shape something, you have to meet first.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
So thank you very much for sharing your time here with me. I wish you great days, great impulses inside meeting people you already know, but maybe just it's extending your own community a little bit.
Absolutely. That's very important. Engage.
Yeah.
And thank you very much for having me, and thank you for the tough questions, especially the genie one. So I have two wishes left, since I only...
Yeah, you have to think about it. We meet next year, and then you have to give me an answer on that.
Yeah, I will do that.
Okay.
All right.
Great.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Gasmin.
Thank you.
Welcome here in our podcast lounge on the Swiss Cybersecurity Days 2024. I'm really happy that you're here with me.
Yeah, very happy to be here. Thank you very much.
It has been a long 2 days. Nevertheless, I appreciate very much that you took your energy today late in the afternoon and came over and stopped by here in my lounge to share some insights, talk about what you're doing, your background, your purpose, your values, whatever. So everything is allowed.
Yeah. No, I mean, thanks to you, it was especially a very long day as well. Just the second one of the Swiss Cybersecurity Days. Quite intense. The last people you have to talk to. I also had a presentation, the very last on the tech stage. And although that went quite well, I still am sort of energy drained. It was a long journey altogether. So also thanks to you for having me here. I'm happy to, you know, share a bit.
You're very, very welcome. I know you already a little bit, but the audience, our listeners, they have no clue who's sitting in front of me right now. We already start talking. Please introduce yourself a little bit. Tell us a little bit more about you, about your background.
Yeah, of course. Well, actually, I'm Ricardo. I'm Ricardo Cicchetti. I'm a master student at the ETH in Zurich. And currently, I'm the president of the ETH Cyber Group. We are a student initiative that is ultimately trying to bridge the gap between the academia and the industry. And cybersecurity for me was a journey that started slightly later. As a background, I'm a physicist, and I did physics for my bachelor and master's as well. And then slowly orbited towards cybersecurity as a field. I have to say it was extremely thrilling. And this is what really drove me towards cybersecurity. The other great aspect was mostly about the community that I found here. It was very welcoming, very engaging, very open to, you know, listen to new projects, new ideas, and really absorb any new smart student or any new interested, passionate student that wanted to come on top and make their their part, make their give their contribute to the cybersecurity community. So this is a bit about myself. Currently, I'm also leading the Cyber Clinic project. This is our newest project that we are trying to push, and we presented at the Swiss Cybersecurity Days.
I would love to learn a little more about the Cyber Clinic project. Clinic, what automatically pops up into my mind, although it might sound a little bit weird, it's just bug fixing. But I think it's much, much more than that.
Well, ultimately, this is a concept inspired by what exists in the US. So I would say the core concept is the one of legal clinic. I don't know if you have ever heard of it or the people listening have ever had. Well, the legal clinic really tries to bring those usually particularly expensive services from lawyers in the US closer to those that have less resources to afford that. And this is done by allowing students in law from big universities, but also small ones, to really practice their skills and their, you know, knowledge that they learn in school through courses in real world cases. So gain that experience that is really hard to get usually by working on general cases that would otherwise not be supervised so closely. So this concept has been developed into the cyber world as well, and this has already been done by them in a very different fashion than the one that we try to apply here, mostly because the economy as a whole, the community as a whole, legislation as well, is quite different. And in these differences, we had to sort of consider and try to restructure, redesign, and somewhat fit this specific concept to work in the Swiss landscape and more generally in the European one as well. So the ultimate result is quite different from what they do in the US, but nevertheless, we've been strongly inspired by them. What we try to do is, well, maybe to mention some of the people that we talk to, also they really connect the concept of clinic to an ambulatory, right? So a healthcare providing infrastructure. And well, ultimately what we try to do is a bit of both. So we try to support those that usually are underserved. And if you look at it from the cybersecurity perspective, they are small, medium enterprises, NGOs. They are these entities that have a lot of exposure and that are usually having very little resources. And little resources makes it harder for them to tackle these issues, but this doesn't mean that they have less threats. Therefore, this is where we try to kick in. And by allowing students to do assessments on the processes, the practices they have in place, as well as some of the configurations of their software asset, we really try to give both the students the experience that they need to jump into the industry, as well as giving the clients a first understanding and some visibility on their cybersecurity posture. This is ultimately a win-win. We have run a pilot project last semester and it was particularly successful. Great feedback from the students and the client alike. So we will try to push it farther and to establish it more sustainably, both from a financial perspective and an operation one, into the Swiss landscape and building up various collaborations with both the public sector, the educational institutions, and the private sector alike.
Great. I wish you great success, that you find your way, that you find the right people to support you on the path to where you want to go to. As a kind of founder by myself, I love to ask the questions. I know that creating something is inspiring. It just gives you a lot of energy, but at the same time, you face a lot of challenges. So if you would have three genie wishes today, whether it's just regarding the project or it's regarding a topic in cyber security environment or resilience, whatever, just a snip from now to the next moment and it would be solved. What would it be?
Well, first of all, thank you for the question. Actually, a very interesting one. I'm happy to kind of give it a go to try to think a bit outside of the box and be like, if I could wish for anything, what could it be? And what would be amazing to be solved right here with a snap of the fingers, right? And I think right now I would, well, let me say, I have a more dreamy approach to this, and my dreamy answer would be, I wish that there wasn't such a big business correlation between the cybersecurity industry and what is finally provided to the society in general. I feel that in this sense, business somehow say changes and moves the targets away from the ideal reason why we are doing cybersecurity, that is ultimately protecting those that are exposed. And somehow I feel that the target gets moved in other directions that I wish weren't so distant from the initial values that are driving us all. But then you kind of bring it to the real world. And if I could wish for something, I would wish for a collaborative environment more. And by this, I mean, we have, of course, conflict of interests. We, of course, work in different directions and are, of course, driven by different views, sometimes even philosophies. But nevertheless, we all are working for the same goal. And I wish that for some particular cases, some special cases that are a common cause, a common interest for most of us, there would be a bit more openness to collaboration and a bit more faith that this kind of things could really bring good. Again, I understand that there's several aspects that cannot be such a collaborative environment. I definitely understand that, and that's also what makes it beautiful, like a bit of healthy competition. But nevertheless, there are multiple amazing ideas out there and projects that really deserve to get the recognition and support that is equivalent to the good that they bring. I mean, what we're trying to do with the cyber clinics is going in this direction, and we hoped for a collaborative environment. I have to say, so far, we have encountered a lot of support, and I'm very glad for that. Our environment really allowed us to do this. ETH empowered us a lot, and I'm very glad for this to be the case. Nevertheless, there's always, I mean, as a founder yourself, you know this better than I do, there's still some skepticism here and there. There are still some issues, and there's still some reluctance into jumping into new things that could be a bit out of the box and out of what we have seen so far. But I'm quite confident that when there is good things that we're doing and there's a common good project that can work, things will work out our way.
And if you take a look back on the last 2 days, is there a certain highlight or learning or something completely unexpected, maybe, that you would like to share with the community, to the ones, to the listeners who could not be on site here with us those 2 days?
Well, I have to say I've been positively, I'd say, struck by the amount of people that were open to engage with us. They really came with amazing ideas, with a strong will to collaborate. And I've noticed this multiple times, and I've noticed this being the case in several areas of the presentations and the entire hall we had here. And this really positively impacted me. I mean, ultimately is the very reason why I joined the cybersecurity environment and why I'm so driven to support and do have an impact in that direction. But I have to say it was refreshing that after some time I've been active in the environment and I tried to build my contribute over time, I managed to get once again the confirmation that cybersecurity is welcoming and really tries to give the possibilities and chances to everybody that wants to do something, do their part.
Thank you very much that you're being here with me in that studio, that you made this extra mile, so to say, at this end of that conference, which was a blast from my perspective. I had more than 38 fantastic people over here.
Wow, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And such a diverse lineup. People from industry, people from public affairs, people with backgrounds you would never ever expect. The creator of the JPEG was here. This is my marketing make the jump through the ceiling. It was crazy. I think the program director made a fantastic job, and not only him, it was this atmosphere, all the exhibitors, and you mentioned it already, the community which started. I mean, this was the first edition. Remember that?
Yeah, the one in Bern, yes.
Yeah, the first edition here in Bern, and it's always something like a startup. The first 5-6 steps, you have a checklist.
Yes.
You have a checklist for that. And then you have to, it's the first time you start to move just on your feet. Let's call it like that.
Yeah. Yeah.
So you're not a toddler anymore. Now you have to walk.
Yeah.
From once to another moment, but in a very, very short time. Yeah. Yeah.
Yes.
You had a plan. Everything was organized, and which was fantastic. The atmosphere and the community. Although it was the first time the people came together, this was amazing for me.
Yeah. Yeah. I have to say, I really do share your view on all of this. It was quite a lot of work in the organization, and it has been done quite well. I'm pleasantly surprised by the amount of logistics that has been put in place, and it all worked somehow well and smoothly. And well, of course, we had a bit of technical issues here and there, but these are obviously normal things, and I mean, I would be surprised if they weren't there, right? In the process of moving your first steps, well, of course, you are hoping to get feedback, hoping to improve over time so that the next time around, it's going to be even better than this. And I'm very happy with what happened here this year. And I'm happy with the opportunity I've been given and with the community that I once again found here. But I'm hoping, I'm very much looking forward to the next iteration, to the next time around, to see how it's going to be and how it's going to grow. And again, looking forward to connect once again with this lovely community.
Yeah. So again, finally, just on the nose for the listeners, why should we attend next year, meeting up face to face on the Swiss Cybersecurity Days 2025?
Well, I have to say, this was an amazing event. The platform for visibility, for connection, for networking, This was all here, all in the same space, and basically side by side, the opportunities to share, to make business, to create collaborations, this was absolutely here. And there were so many providers, solutions, and this was fantastic just to see all in one place. Well, I'm also coming as a newcomer, and therefore I'm, you know, not as experienced as many of the other 38 attendees you had. But I have to say, from my fresh perspective, I'm once again pleasantly surprised, and I would be very much looking forward. This was a crazy opportunity, fantastic. And I would have to say, I would really suggest to join next year, really much, mostly because of this community building that we have seen happening here, that goes beyond simply business, that goes beyond simply, you know, professional personas, and it gets into the personal level as well. You really create human to human connections, if of course you allow that to be the case.
So thank you very much again, and I wish you a safe trip back home, and we see us on the Swiss Cyber Security Days 2025.
Thank you very much, Lina, for having me.
And to everyone listening out there, if you liked it, we would be happy if you follow us. Feel free to share our podcast in your network and on social media. Thanks for listening, and see you at Bern Expo at the Swiss Cyber Security Days 2025.